terrorists declare war on the United States.
Military officials here at the Pentagon are confirming that seven are dead. At
least. Armored vehicle stands guard.
Downtown New York in chaos.
The 7.0 quake was centered roughly 10 miles from the capital city.
We want the public to feel safe.
Thousands likely dead.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast. Things that never change. God and His Word. Join Pastor Randy Reams as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. Just verses 1 and 2. When you're there, please stand. We're going to cover most of the chapter, but for the sake of time, we'll just read these first. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear, do not be dismayed. Take up all the fighting men with you. Arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai and his people, his city, and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil, its livestock, you shall take as plunder to yourselves. Lay an ambush against the city behind it. You may be seated." So if you recall last week, I showed you a topographical map of where Ai sits. And so way over here is down here is Jericho and Gilgal. We went through all of that. All right. And then we talked about up here where Ai is, or Ai, depends on how you say it. What's interesting about it, and I didn't talk about it, they actually found an Egyptian scarab. It's a little, I don't know what you call it. Well, how do you describe it? Pendant, I don't know. With the right pharaoh to put this at the right time. And so, but the reason I show this to you is because in this wadi, which is a ravine, which I showed you pictures of last week, is we know by the story that according to the word of the Lord, Joshua pulls 30,000 men and sit, now they'll argue about this, but the way I read it's 30,000 men, okay, around this wadi to the backside of Ai. And then he goes with the people to the north where the gate of this, and by the way, where they dug up, that's the one gate is to the north. He goes to the other side, and the Bible tells us there's a ravine in between those two, not as deep as the other side we looked at last week. And during the night, as the rest of Israel camps on the other side, Joshua camps in this ravine by himself. And so as the battle goes, as the next day they go to look like they're attacking from the front, all right, they look defeated. Let the men, the fighters of Ai, pursue them. That's what we read in the rest of the chapter. And as they pursue, the people from behind then come up that ravine. And if you recall this picture I showed to you last week, if you remember, that ravine in the backside is pretty steep and 361 feet up. And people want to argue about how many guys are back there and how many you can hide and this kind of thing. And I know this, if God can part the Jordan, he can hide 30,000 guys however he wants, okay? Eventually 35,000, okay? So they attack from the back. They burn and start the city on fire. The men of Ai look and say, "Oh, no, we left the back." You never do that in warfare, right? You always cover the flank. All right, I play computer games here and there, and I hate it when you're playing with guys online as a team, because they all want to run off, and then you're going, "Hey, the flank's open. I'm the only one over here. I'm not going to last very long." It's just nature to get all excited about the victory that they're having, and that's what the men do. And when they turn to want to go back to save their women, children, and everything else, that's when they're taken from both sides and they pursue these people till all 12,000 inhabitants of the city of Ai is destroyed. My notes are out of order. Let me fix that real quick. This is why I put page numbers on them, though, just for that reason. So that's the basic story of it. Now we're going to take it apart a little bit more, okay? So the first thing that strikes me is, what does God say to Joshua first? Don't be afraid. Now remember, before he was always saying, be strong and courageous. But now that statement's changed to, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. Now we know what fear is, but the word dismayed we don't use a lot. But just looking it up in a dictionary and then how it's used, that same word is used in the Greek. To break down, either literally by violence or figuratively by confusion and fear. That's Strong's Concordance. To be shattered, to be broken, to be abolished, to be afraid. You've got to remember what's happened. They just had a defeat. Joshua's first time where he's really supposed to have battle, because Jericho, they didn't do anything but march, okay? When he's really, he falters. It doesn't work. And if you recall, there's 3,000 men were set up there, 35 of them die, and just with 35 dead, they all run in fear. This is, I believe, why God says it differently now. Be strong. Wait a minute. I know what you feel like when you've been defeated. I know what you feel like when you fail. And what, let's get real. You have expectations. How many of you, as parents, everything you do as a parent's a victory, right? And so you sit with the spouse in bed at night, so where did we go wrong here? Or maybe you're saying, spouse, nothing. My spouse gone. They up and left me, man. I'm a number two. How did you feel after that first one went bankrupt, that first marriage? How do you feel at that moment when it didn't go the way you expected it to, and you know part of it you had something to do with? That's where Joshua's at. He recognizes, and we talked about that last week, the three areas of sin that were there. How do you handle failure? When you make a mistake, how do you handle that? Let me just give you real quick a few models that I've seen in the world. Cover it up and conveniently forget. The TV preacher model, so I don't go after just politicians. Refuse to take the blame, shed crocodile tears, and then threaten to sue somebody. The celebrity TV star model. Deny, act indignant, throw some money around, and then take advantage of the free publicity. The crooked corporation model. Cook the books to make sure you can hide your colossal failure. Make it look like a success. Destroy all the evidence to the contrary. And then live large. Then you have the Judas Iscariot model. Give up. Despair, hang yourself, be replaced, set your fail in permanent ink for all of history. I don't think those are good examples of how to deal with failure. We've got to remember that failure is not intended to be fatal. And I don't mean just physically fatal. So we look at the biblical model of how do you handle failure. We talked about the first part of that biblical model last week. Repent. Sort of revisit it and say, where was I not doing it right, God? And repent and then do whatever it takes. We see that last week, okay? Almost to a radical extreme measures to cleanse, to get that sin out. But here's the hard part. It's even worse when the failures come, the defeats come, the devastation comes, when it wasn't you. Now, it was because of me that I'm here. I can sort of deal with that. But if I'm here because of you, I'm not too sure I like that one. That's a little tougher, okay? When your family's coming apart because your child's rebellion, not yours. And here you are trying to raise the kids by yourself and struggling because he left. When you're going bankrupt because that Christian brother you did business with cheated you. You're fighting it because they falsely accused you. That family member betrayed you. I don't know about you, but right now I'd be feeling like Jesus in the garden. All right, when I, but wait a minute, there was that whole Achan thing in the midst. I know, God, I should have talked to you, but I ain't the one that stole the stuff from Jericho. Now, if you're Joshua, what if you're one of the moms, the dads, the wives of the 35 men that died? Forgiveness probably didn't come so easy. You were probably pretty upset with Achan. You're probably pretty upset with Joshua for not doing it right. That's where Israel's at this point. They're burying people. Some people at fault, others not at fault. Those 35 men, boys, young men, sons, they didn't steal stuff. They weren't the ones that God told, like he told Joshua, to seek the priest and use the Urim and the Thummim to do this. Now, I understand that when failure comes, there's, and I don't know what other word to use, but a grieving process, okay? But if you're not careful, that turns into fear and discouragement. So when it comes to the defeat, how do you keep from or maybe get out of their discouragement? Here you go. We'll break these down a piece at a time. What does God want me to do? So what God wants you to do? That's what you ask. Most people do this. Why, God? Why am I in this mess? I stopped. The why I dealt with when I repented. If there was any why in me, I repent, God. Now what? What do you want from me in this? Two, how do you want me to do it? Three, then do it. Let me put it another way. Believe what he says. Because faith without works is just dead faith. So you can say you believe it, but he ain't doing it. You're not believing. Okay? And then leave the outcome in God's hands. We'll break these down a bit. So what does God want us to do? That means we need to seek God. Proverbs 16 and 3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Psalms 25 and 12. Who is the man who fears the Lord? He, that is God, will instruct him in the way that he should choose. If you're in the place where you're in this mess and you fear the mess more than you fear God, you're going to have a hard time. But wait a minute, God. If I'm here, what I care about is you. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to, how would we do that? Prayer, okay, and the Word. Do I have that up there? Yes, I do. Psalms 32, 6 through 8 says this. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Now watch this. Surely in the flood of great waters, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Now wait a minute. He's in the trouble, and yet you surround him with songs of deliverance. While he's in the trouble. Let me put that. Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. What? I will fear no evil. For with me. And preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Wait a minute. Can't we get away from the enemy before we have a banquet? But the songs of deliverance while they're there. And then God's response to this is, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Pray this way. God, show me. Teach me. You get this. I just need to know God's will. Have you prayed about it? Well, we lifted out the pros, the cons. We did. Wait, have you prayed about it? Have you asked God? One of the things you have to ask for is wisdom. We all know this one, right, out of James? And but you got to put that in context, by the way. The context is his trials and struggles and tribulation. That's the context of James there. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously without reproach, and it will be given him. We'll might break more of that down a little bit later, but there's things in how that takes place. Okay. But the other thing that I think that we can pray for in that time is comfort. So you're asking God to teach you, to give you wisdom. But let's get real. You just came through pain. You might be in the midst of it. Cast your burdens upon the Lord, Psalms 55:22, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the proper time. Now catch this, okay? Humble yourself before the Lord under his mighty hand, that he'll exalt you in the proper time, casting all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. God's not too busy for you to go, hey, God, I'm in the midst of it. Somewhere in there, that mama, that wife is saying, I just lost. Help, God. I'm going to be honest. That mother, that wife probably didn't care if they ever took AI. Or I, whichever way you say it. But they didn't care. They were mourning at that time. 2 Corinthians 1:3-5. Praise be to the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. Why? So I can just receive from God and take. No. So you can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the suffering. No. I want to share in the victory of Christ. I don't want to share in the sufferings, but that's another story. Okay. So also our comfort abounds through Christ. Isaiah 12:1 says this. I don't have it on the screen, but O Lord, I will praise you. Though you are angry with me, that's why they lost. Your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. In the idea of comfort, look what the Lord says to Joshua. See, I have given into your hand the king, and so on. God gives him assurance. Just after this defeat, what do you need? God gives him assurance of victory. I have done this already. I know you just lost one, but you responded correctly. I'm giving you the victory. And the word I find out is see. See what? See, Joshua, they just finished the funerals. See. That's why it says walk by faith and not by sight. And faith is the evidence of things. Yeah. Things not. Well, wait a minute. So you're asking me to see. See what, God? Anytime I hear that, I'm reminded of the story. If you remember King, it's Aram, I think it is going to send in guys up against the prophet. Okay, Elijah, and they walk outside, and his assistants with him. Oh my gosh, look, we're outnumbered. Right, you know the story. And what does God open his eyes that he could see? And he opens his eyes and sees the myriad of the host. What's interesting is those hosts never attack. You need to read the story. They don't have to attack, but that's not. But that's what the thing's not seen. I have that this present darkness thing in my head. If you've ever read it, it talks about the things going on in the spiritual that we don't see. Okay, but so when he's saying see, he's saying see in faith, and faith comes by hearing. What does he hear God say? I have given this to you. He doesn't see it. It's not in front of him. In front of him is mourning widows and mothers. That's what's in front of him. But he hears the word of God and what God says. He also, by the way, gives him a quick response. By the way, if you're obedient, he gives him this idea. I'm giving this to you. You're supposed to do this. Oh, by the way, you get the spoils too. He's reminding him of that whole Deuteronomy thing. Disobedience, curses. Obedience, blessing. Okay? He's given, I'm going to be sorry, but I'm just going to ache, and if you just waited. Here, God promises him all the spoils. But Achan didn't like God's timing. It's not a message about that. So what God is speaking to Joshua is, believe my word. Believe my word. And calls Joshua to action. Take all the people of war with you. And then he tells him how he wants it done. So what to do? I want you to take the guys to war. All of them, not 3,000. Take all of them. How do you want to do it? Here's what I want you to divide your troops. I want you to send an ambush behind the city. Now, God doesn't tell him specific numbers, but he says you're supposed to divide up and send some behind. So he's got the call to action and the how to action. And you can see what Joshua says to his men when he gives them the plan. Verses 3-4, when he says, so Joshua and all the fighting men rose up to go to Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them by night. And he commanded them, behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city and behind it. Then at verse 8, it says this. Then it will be then, when you have seized the city, you shall set it on fire and do it according to the word of the Lord. See, I have commanded you. What does he tell them? He says, do it God's way this time. Listen to me, I'm command. Go do it. Don't do it your do it God's way this time. So he's hearing the word of God. He's believing that God knew what he was talking about. What an idea. And then tells the people. Now, these people didn't get a word from God. We talked about this before when Moses did the same thing. We talked about it at Jericho. These people don't get a word from God. But he says, do it God's way. So as they do this and go out at night, he adds another 5,000, by the way. Here he is. He sent 30,000. The rest are marching up that 15 miles about, and it's uphill quite a ways. All right. And so they're marching along, and as he's thinking about it, is 30,000 enough? God, you said ambush. We're ambushing. All right, God, I'm going to send another 5. And they camp between the house of God and the place soon to be named the heap of ruins. I don't know about you, but you've been defeated, and you're trying to work in victory. I'm going to be honest, you feel like you're halfway in between those two places, ruin and the house of God. You, even when you do come to church, after you come through that defeat and you're struggling, the depression and all that, and everybody else is worshiping, and you feel like God's 1,000 miles away. But they camp, though, between that place. That's where in the ravine there. And then verse 13, we find out this is where Joshua then, the people camp, and then he comes out on the ravine alone. Now, if you remember, he had the same strategy at Jericho. If you remember, that's when he's out walking by himself, sort of scoping things out, and when he sees the captain of the host, he's by himself. He's gone back now to that quiet time alone. Before the battle takes place. Now, there is a lesson in there, folks. I know, God, he spoke to you, you know what he... But you better spend some time in the ravine by yourself at night. Now, hang on. If he's in the ravine by himself at night, what if the people send out some troops, just a platoon? Is that 15, something like that? Out, you're Joshua by yourself. And you're in the low ground. If they come, I think one of the things he's doing at this point with God, this is my view, this is the thing, he's contemplating the stupid mistakes he's made before and going, I ain't going down that road again. How many of you have ever been there? Wait a minute. I want to spend some time with God. Make sure I'm hearing this right. Because I'm not going through that again. You know, I say of it when I, you know, I'm a bit, my wife would tell you, she's not here today, so she can't verify it. I'm a bit stubborn. And I believe to this day that the accident I had that broke my back. Hello, listen! And I'm going, I'm not going down that road again. I make sure I get my time with God because I don't want him to have to break me again for me to listen. See, God wants us to learn from our mistakes and not be paralyzed by our failures. Failures can get you stuck as that fear to move grabs hold of you. And to me, the prime example of this is that. Peter, Satan today desires to sift you like wheat, and you will deny me three times. I don't think so. Yeah, Pete. But when he gets out of that garden tomb, and he says to those ladies, go tell Peter and the disciples, Peter, I don't want you stuck at denial. I don't want you to be stuck at the point of your failure. Peter, I've got more for you than that. I want you to understand it's intended to grow you, not freeze you. See, if the enemy can get you to give up, that's all he's got to do. He doesn't have to take all your stuff. He doesn't have, if he just gets you to quit, and I'm going to be straight, there are too many people sitting in the pew that's quit. Oh, you talk to them back when? Well, I was going to be a missionary. I was going to do this. I was going to open to that. I was going to do this. But defeat came. And they got off of their feet and got on their butt. And haven't moved since.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcasts. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.